Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
And a big sidekick here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show every Thursday, David Noble in the house. Yeah, so David, there was this big story, big news, major news. They have measles cases in Bozeman, Montana, Gallatin County. This news came out back in April. And then the major measles update now is this. Everybody's fine. Everybody recovered. So that's the big news. But isn't it curious that happened in Bozeman, of all places, right?
The one place where we have a huge, huge number of illegal aliens.
Yeah.
What a coincidence that is.
And when the story first broke, you see all of the Democrat commentators on social media. This is RFK's fault. It's the MAGA Republic. The Freedom Freckles, that's what they were calling, you know, the measles.
My.
They wanted to blame homeschool moms that don't vaccinate their kids. And it's like, we've always had homeschool moms and other moms that don't vaccinate their kids.
And historically, it was left-wingers that didn't vaccinate their... That's the funny thing about it.
A lot of them, yeah, yeah. But my point is, we've always had a slice of the population that doesn't do the vaccines, even things like MMR and some of these polio and some of these other ones, and yet they've been fine. But boom, all of a sudden, for the first time since 1990, we have measles cases. And so it's like, gee, I wonder what happened in recent years that might have allowed that to happen.
Yep. And it's, I saw a post on X where some media outlet here in Montana had posted, we're tracking the price of eggs and the price of gas. And somebody had quote posted it. Somebody we know, I can't remember who it is, and basically said, hey, your four-year vacation's over. So, you know, the media's back. The Democrats are back. They're going to start paying attention. Again, they're going to start caring about things again. They're going to actually start reporting again instead of just running cover for the government. So it's going to be interesting to see. But it kind of ties in with that story too. It's like, and Trump talks about it all the time. It's like Trump was in office for like 3 days and they were blaming the price of eggs on him.
Yeah.
You know, now he's been in office 2 months and RFK's been in there like a month and a half or whatever it is, a couple more than that. But now like the meat, it's like, hold on. If these kids got, first of all, we don't even know if they're kids or if they're illegal aliens, you know. So
yeah, we don't know their. I just asked DPHHS yesterday. Can we share their at least their nationality or something? You know, because none of that information.
Bozeman man.
Yeah, exactly. but anyway, yeah. So this Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro tried to go after RFK Jr. over the measles, and man, did he shoot her down very quickly.
Address your first issue first, because I want to correct you. We have about 1,100 measles cases in this country. The growth rate last year was 15 additional, so we have plateaued. Mexico has roughly the same number with a third of our population, and they got 300 extra quite cases last week. Canada has more measles, 1,500. They have one-eighth of our population. Your Western Europe has about 6,000, which is 10 times the number that we have.
Wrong.
Oh, you are wrong about what you said earlier.
Just have the
reclaiming
facts.
Reclaiming my time.
Apparently Canada, big problem with the measles and big problem with our northern border as well.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness, along with some developing showers today, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures from 53 in Bozeman to 63 in Billings. For tonight, a few showers around early, followed by lows in the upper 30s in Bozeman to the mid-40s in Billings. And then on Friday, we'll see breaks of sun and some clouds with a few afternoon showers still possible. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The media generally refer to the Republican Party as President Trump's party or the MAGA party, and that's generally accurate. Usually, Republicans go along with whatever this president wants. But when it comes to accepting this $400 million luxury jet from Qatar, where the president was visiting yesterday, there has been a revolt. media conservatives ranging from National Review under the headline Poison Plane. His advisor, Laura Loomer, saying this is a stain on the presidency. Republican lawmakers on the Hill. There's been a real revolt of the kind we haven't seen since the beginning of the second term. Now, Trump defended the decision again on Air Force One with Fox's Sean Hannity, saying he'd have to be stupid or a fool not to take this gift, which ultimately is supposed to end up at his presidential library. But meanwhile, taking a lot of flack from the right. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, David Noble. Man, before I start throwing a bunch of different topics out there, I should start with, what do you want to talk about here? Because I'll do that to John Jackson all the time. I'll ask him off air, hey, John, what do you want to talk about today? And then 2 hours later, we never got to it. We forgot to get to it.
You know? I do have something very, very important to shout out, which is the upcoming Lincoln Reagan Day dinner here in Yellowstone County. It's on Friday, May 23rd. You're going to have Congressman Troy Downing there. You're going to have Nick Adams, the CEO of Foundation for Liberty and Greatness. I'm going to be the MC. I'll be there.
Nice.
If folks want to come out and meet me, meet Congressman Downing, we're going to hope, you know, typically you see a ton of statewide elected officials at these things, a lot of legislators, things like that. Go to yellowstonegop.org. Tickets are still available. We do still have tickets available. So go to yellowstonegop.org, yellowstonegop.org. Get your tickets to the Golden Age, the Lincoln Reagan Day dinner here in Yellowstone County, Friday, May 23rd. Doors open 5 p.m. at the New Billings Hotel and Convention Center, yellowstonegop.org, yellowstonegop.org.
And I think we're going to have Nick on the show here at some point as well.
Awesome.
Pam Parenton just reached out yesterday. And then, of course, after the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan, General Michael Flynn is going to be the speaker at the Gallatin County Lincoln Reagan dinner. I heard from Troy Miller, so he's linking us up with General Flynn. So that should be
a great one
as well. Yeah.
Here's the great thing about the Yellowstone County GOP, Aaron. We spend all of our money on Yellowstone County issues and candidates. Here's the other thing. The Yellowstone County Republicans were the only ones, as far as I'm aware of, to spend money in these local school board elections that we just had, supporting the two conservative candidates, Jonathan Van Langen, and I'm drawing a blank on the other.
Amanda.
So, but we, as the Yellowstone County Republican Party, we paid for digital advertising on Facebook, and I was sharing those posts. I'll tell you this. On those two school board elections, the day that I got my ballot in the mail was the same day that I got two different mailers for the radical left-wing school board candidate talking about how great it was, and it was paid for by some dark money left-wing group.
Yeah, not a single, because I didn't see anything. I saw the Yellowstone County Republicans. Yeah, I finally saw one post on there, so I shared it on our Montana Talks website, because a lot of people just had no idea who to vote for.
So here's the thing, though, Aaron. If people here in Yellowstone County or anywhere across the state will go to yellowstonegop.org and buy tickets and come to this dinner, and you can frankly just buy tickets and not come or just donate to the party, that will enable us to spend more money in support of those school board candidates. People always ask, hey, what can we do to help? Well, one thing you can do is you can go to the Lincoln Reagan Day dinner, you can donate to the party, because then we would have money to spend on those. And it's like, yeah, it'd be nice if we had billionaires and millionaires and nonprofits and 501c3s and everything else out there to do some of this heavy lifting, but we don't. You've got people like me and Pam Purinton volunteering our own free time for no compensation, just putting in our own free volunteer time to run the Republican Party here in the county, to put on dinners like this, to fundraise. And we spend every dollar that we raise in Yellowstone County to support conservative candidates in school boards, in legislative races, you name it. And so it's really
important.
And of
course, I mean, it takes a lot more than Facebook ads. So that takes a lot more money because, you know, you got to, you know.
Mailers. It'd been great to send out mailers.
Mailers, radio ads. Obviously, radio I'm biased on that one, but it's just like, well, but it's tough because, you know, that stuff costs money. And right. So, but yeah, people need to hear something over and over and over again. That's why I tell people, like, look, you can't trust Facebook. Facebook is going to try to limit what you see from people like David and from, you know, organizations that you support. They throttle conservative content. And so, like, I had some people, who should we vote for in these school board elections? And I'm like, man, if you got the notifications, if you had the Montana Talks app on your phone and you got the notifications, I really try not to overwhelm people on the Montana Talks app with all these absurd notifications. I said, you would have gotten an alert telling you who the Yellowstone County Republicans have endorsed for the school board elections. And so I get it. People got too many things on their phone. They get too many notifications. That's why I try to keep it limited on our Montana Talks app. But I was like, you would have gotten that in front of you. But even if they would have seen it once, when it comes to campaigns, people got to hear something repeatedly over and over and over again.
Well, and I would encourage people, you know, don't just come to the dinner or buy your ticket at YellowstoneGOP.org. Instead, start coming to our monthly meetings, our monthly Yellowstone Republican meetings. And here's the deal, Aaron. Every month we meet and we talk and we ask people, and we've got volunteers and stuff, and we ask, hey, do we have city council elections coming up? Do we have school board elections coming up? Do we have a volunteer to help? Hey, we need a conservative candidate in this ward or that ward, or we need a conservative candidate in this. We're doing all that stuff here at the Yellowstone County Republican Party. I mean, we're trying to do it. We're volunteering our time, but we need the public support. We need money. We need people to show up to these dinners
and you guys have done a great job, too, of, I think, being united, being strongly, solidly conservative, but also being united and not getting involved in petty little bickering that can so often happens with a lot of outfits like this.
Pam Purinton talks about how Yellowstone County really is unique in the state in terms of how united we are as Republicans. It's really kind of nice.
And look at who carried the elections. When it came to the incredible U.S. Senate, you look at Senator Tim Sheehy's victory last year. If you were to break it down by congressional districts, he won by, what, 8 points statewide against Flip-Flop Flattop, an entrenched, powerful incumbent that had all of the liberal media mob covering for his every big boy move. Yet he lost by eight points statewide. But if you broke it down between the Western Congressional District and the Eastern Congressional District, Sheehy lost by 1 point in the Western Congressional District boundaries against an entrenched incumbent, which shows you how much the Democrats gerrymandered the Western Congressional District. But
and how impressive Ryan Zinke's win is.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And he'll win again big, which is why the Democrats are wasting their time always trying to go after him. But when Tim Sheehy and Steve Daines win Yellowstone County by 16 points, that's how you make up for the difference for the environmental wacko hotbeds of Missoula and elsewhere. It's because of the strength coming out of Yellowstone County. So great job.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A recession is when your neighbor loses their job. A depression is when you lose yours, or so the old joke goes. And with that in mind, we come to the proposed cuts in National Science Foundation, or NSF, that funds a lot of research, including projects carried out by centers like ours. And so this is a bad thing, yes? We researchers are well positioned to tell you how vital all the work we do is and how the cuts make no sense. But the details of NSF spending take some of the steam out of this outrage. The agency has 37 divisions, 8 directorates, spending $9 billion with a staff of 1,700. The budgets of many of its research grants are padded with fat overhead percentages that recipients spend however they wish. The other side of the story, of course, is that the research the NSF has funded has had huge impacts, giving us things like the internet and cancer drugs. It's arguably part of the innovation advantage the U.S. still enjoys over our competitors. I'm Patrick Parkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. The U.S. suspending beef imports from Mexico earlier this week, a 15-day ban due to screwworm being detected in some shipments recently. The U.S. previously restricted Mexican cattle shipments from November to February for similar screwworm concerns. The Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service under the U.S. Agriculture Department describes the New World screwworm as a devastating pest, with fly larvae burrowing into the animal and causing damage, in this case, to livestock. It's rare in the U.S., but they can infest humans, too, with the flies attracted to and laying eggs in open open wounds. It's mostly found in South America and the Caribbean. People who travel to those areas or are around livestock animals with an open wound have a chance of being infected. Symptoms include unexplained skin lesions that don't heal, wounds that continue to worsen, or even seeing maggots in an open sore. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
For the first time ever, the United States had a youth team compete in the Zoetis World Angus Youth Competition that was held in conjunction with the World Angus Forum in Australia. And one of the young Angus leaders that participated in the youth competition and one of the four contestants from the United States on Team USA was Claire Stevenson of Stevenson Angus here in Montana. She shared with me more about the competition.
The World Angus Forum Youth Contest consists of multiple different events, everything from livestock judging to fitting, showing. We just got done with a debate where we were in the finals, luckily, and we have a variety of other little modules that we've been a part of, such as bush mechanics.
Stevenson and Team USA walked away as the grand champion team of the World Angus Youth Competition, and she left us with these thoughts.
It's been incredible to get to meet all these different people from around the world and make these new connections and meet young producers that we may someday be doing business with in the future across the world.
Claire is the daughter of Daryl and Sarah Stevenson of Stevenson Angus and currently pursuing her graduate degree from the University of Georgia. Again, Team USA, the grand champion team for the World Angus Forum Youth Competition. I'm Lane Nordblond.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, David Noble and I were just talking during the break. What's the woke update of the week? What's the Trump W of the week? The Trump win of the week? David, it seems to me, as for the Trump W of the week, President Trump's historic trip in the Middle East, $3-5 trillion in investments in America, not to mention getting back on the path to Mideast peace and so much more. That's the Trump W of the week, still in progress as we speak. And then for the woke update, President Trump was on Air Force One sitting down with Sean Hannity, and he talked about how it would be harder to beat the Democrats if they were normal on things. They're almost insane, and they do suffer from Trump derangement syndrome. But yeah, now we had another liberal judge in Missoula shoot down a bill to protect kids from this radical transgender agenda. So, you know, tied in with how insane the Democrats are. I guess that's kind of our woke update of the week here, is still the Democrats and their liberal judges are doubling down on this radical tranny agenda in Montana.
I can't believe, yeah, that's really disappointing, that ruling. My woke update is Representative Jasmine Crockett.
Ah, yes, Carlton, yeah.
She explained why black men did not vote for Kamala Harris in the 2024 election.
I love this
one. She was on the Chuck Toddcast. Are you familiar with the Chuck Toddcast?
Oh, man, I'm not familiar with the Toddcast.
So he got
booted off of Meet the Press because he just destroyed that show.
He did, but so, you know, on my Twitch stream, we like to do Sunday shows review on Sundays.
Oh, nice.
Because they'll put the Sunday shows up on YouTube after they run them on the TV, and so we'll watch those and comment on them. And of course, you know, Cuck Todd was always one of our favorites out there. But no, so Jasmine Crockett was on that with Chuck Todd, and she said, quote, "I definitely think there was misogyny in this across the board, no matter what color you're talking about. I just think that you'd be an heir to not, like, know that there was misogyny that existed." So they're still blaming it on misogyny, never mind the fact that Joe Biden was going to lose even worse than Kamala Harris, and he's an old white guy.
Yeah, although I would partially defend what I call her Carlton, because if you ever watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith was the cool guy and as the Fresh Prince, and then Carlton was the nerdy cardigan-wearing rich kid, and she's really the, you know, rich kid who went to really elite schools, but now she pretends to be the Will Smith cool kid from the hood, you know, and so that's why I call her Carlton with her big fake eyelashes and everything. Like, not that there's anything wrong with fake eyelashes. Those ones are just really, really big. But, yeah, so In that interview, she was saying how, well, the reason why Kamala had problems with black men in particular was because basically she built her career in San Francisco as a prosecutor targeting black men for minor drug offenses, like minor marijuana drug offenses. And so that's how she beefed up her career, was by going after black men. So think about it. If you're a black man and you see all this crazy transgender stuff, and more importantly, you see Kamala Harris letting these illegal aliens run roughshod over your communities, she targeted black men, but then she lets illegal aliens off the hook with all their crime spree across America. And but that's not misogyny. That's just her crazy policies.
That's just bad policy. Yeah. And Democrats got in trouble with the African-American community beyond just that, because a lot of African-Americans all across the country were realizing that the Democrats, they're lying when they say they care and they're going to do something. They actually care more for illegal aliens than they do for the Americans that are black.
Same thing for Native Americans, Indian country. And look at Bighorn County, you know, Crow Reservation, Roosevelt County, Fort Peck Reservation. Those counties went for Trump. And I think a big part of that is because of the fact that Democrats, they sit here and they pander and they take Native Americans for granted while they shove illegal aliens into their community to target their people with crime and drugs, the cartel, Trinidad, Aragua, and more.
So what's really weird, though, and what I'm kind of watching, Aaron, is what are the Democrats going to do politically? Because you see stories like this. Jasmine Crockett, she probably doesn't speak for the DNC and that type of a thing. But David Hogg getting kicked out as vice chair of the DNC. Who the heck knows what they're doing at the DNC? But the question, and then, you know, this Missoula judge, Aaron, this Missoula judge that invalidated the child protection laws, I don't think that guy speaks for the DNC either. However, you're not seeing the Democrats come out and say, hey, we totally disagree with that ruling. We totally disagree with Jasmine Crockett. They're actually still doubling down on some of this stuff. And so I would have sort of expected them to sort of change track. Mm-hmm. But if they're still out there, I mean, this type of thing. Oh, the only reason you Americans don't vote for Democrats is because you're sexist. That's the type of stuff that caused people to vote for Trump. We're sick of hearing that.
Yeah.
But they're still doing it.
Still doing it. They're still doubling down. AOC and Bernie Sanders in Missoula. AOC was praising her girl, the dude, Zoe Zephyr, right? So they're doubling down
and then bragging about texting Zoe.
And then the Gallatin County commissioners, the Democrats there, they're too chicken to stand up to their far-left base, and they rejected what was a really good financial deal for Gallatin County because they're too chicken and afraid of their far-left base. Phone lines are open as well, if I forgot to tell you, 406-294-0970. But I want to get David's take on this recent bill that got signed into law by Governor Greg Gianforte. I think this is very good news, even though many of us were disappointed to see the Medicaid expansion continue. You know, David and I had talked about the need to get some sideboards in place. I think this House Bill 687 by Bill Mercer is one of those very sideboards. So we'll talk about that here in just a second. But first, we've got a caller on the line. Let's go to Mike in Bozeman. Mike, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
I am wondering if you guys have connections with powers that be and people close to Trump who can really, really get in his ear and advise him to really be careful with these Middle East investments that are supposedly coming to this country, because there is such a real danger of a lot of money coming in alongside or along with the, you know, good money, I'm going to call it, that's going to be going to these Muslim and Islamic centers of agitation in this country. And the place that I get the strongest information from is frontpagemag.com, that David Horowitz website, who has several people in there that really are in-depth knowledgeable about Islam, Islamic activities, jihadis, and they're the ones who brought it to my attention that, good Lord, we got to be careful because those Islam and Muslim countries really try to agitate and convert people, not only around the world, in Sweden, for example, where their public school system is inundated.
Oh, radical Islam. With the open borders in Europe, I mean, radical Islam has just taken over swaths of Europe and the UK in particular. No, but, yeah, no, great phone call, Mike. I appreciate it. David, I think President Trump is, I've said this before, he is, I had a message from Lori in Billings saying the same thing about the Qataris, et cetera. I think Donald Trump is eyes wide open. He knows exactly who he's dealing with. He knows exactly what he's doing. Stephen Miller is another one. I think they know exactly who they're dealing with. So,
directly answer the caller's first question about whether we have any contacts in the Trump administration, weirdly, I go onto Facebook now, and like my recommended friend list is all these people in the Trump, Peter Navarro, Howard Lutnick, like their little personal Facebook pages are being recommended to people I may know. And then it's sitting there saying I got a bunch of mutual friends. Whoever I have out there who's friends with like Howard Lutnick and Peter Navarro on Facebook, like you can call in and let us know.
Well, it's cool. I actually sent a direct message on X to, let's just say, an unnamed top Trump appointee. And I got a response back on X. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But, you know, there's always those Montana connections.
Yeah. I do have some comments on the rest of what he had to say.
Montana can open up a lot of doors.
Right.
That's doesn't matter who you are.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, before we talk about a good bill that got signed into law by Governor Greg Gianforte dealing with Medicaid expansion here in Montana, David, I got to get your take on this. This was a funny note that was passed along from our good friend Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. She sent this Friday. It came in after this show, but she says, I just read something that made me wonder, can liberals sustain this level of outrage for 3.5 more years? I mean, they're pulling their hair out. They're screaming. Can they do this for 3+ more years? Because they still got a long way to go.
They're going to be pretty frazzled at the end of that 3.5 if they do. No, but before we go into the Medicaid expansion thing, that last caller we had, I think he makes some good points that, like, hey, when you're dealing with these Middle Eastern countries, you got to be pretty careful about where the money's going to go and where the money's coming, because there's no question the Saudi government has a history of supporting and promoting Wahhabi Islam, which is a sort of virulent, sort of extreme version of it. But here's the thing.
I think that's changed with MBS.
Right,
though.
And that is changing. That is changing with MBS. But here's the thing, Aaron. There's not always, we don't have angels in the Middle East to make deals with, right? We're dealing with a very complex situation where you've got...
We don't have angels in the U.S. right. to deal with, for Pete's sake. Look at some of our tech companies.
Right. So it's like you've got the Persians, the Iranians, the Shias versus the Arabs and the Sunnis and everything else, and you've got I compare it to like Pakistan during the global war on terror. I mean, we were allied with Pakistan and we had close military. My understanding is we were, but then you sort of find out actually they've got some other parts of their government that are a little bit more pro-Taliban than maybe other parts, and the military establishment in Pakistan is more friendly to us, and then you've got other elements that are hiding.
Oh, sounds like you're describing the Republican Party here. Who do you trust?
Right. Yeah, and so while the caller is correct.
These guys are kind of our friends, but sometimes not. Yeah.
You've got tough choices. I mean, whose side are you going to take? You're going to take Iran's? You're going to take Saudi Arabia's? That's the choice we're faced with, and we've chosen Saudi, and I think rightfully so.
Well, and that's because the terrorists in charge of Tehran straight up are chanting death to America and want to destroy this country and every single one of us. And
rational, and a lot of international relations theory is based on this notion that states are rational actors, that the leaders of states are rational actors and want to preserve their own power. Does that apply when you're a terrorist? I don't think so.
Well, that was Dr. Mehrdad Kia. Did you ever take any of Dr. Kia's classes at UM?
I think I did, yeah. Or I at least sat in on some of his lectures. Hearing him, and he did a fantastic job on the show the other day.
Oh, did you hear that?
What stood
out to you from what he had to say? Because the one thing that I think ties in with what you're talking about now is he's very just blown away and talked about how historic President Trump's whole Middle Eastern trip is. But, you know, he grew up in Iran. He fled Iran. He escaped as, you know, a young man just before the Shah fell and the terrorists took over. And so he's very cautious when he hears that the Trump administration is open to having talks with the Iranian regime, because what he doesn't want to see happen is he thinks we have an opportunity now, not to get into a war with Iran, but to support the Iranian people to eventually lead to the overthrow of that terrorist regime. And so he doesn't want all of these peace talks and all of this other stuff to let the terrorists in Tehran off the hook from what could be historic change there as well.
Yeah, I thought that was a great point. I've got some friends, you know, from Miami and stuff that are Iranian Americans, and the thing that stood out to me with Dr. Kia, as well as frankly most of my friends from Iran that I've talked to, is yeah, they're Iranian, but they hate the mullahs in Tehran more than anybody else. It's just like the Cuban Americans down in Miami. They hate communists and they hate Fidel Castro and whatever other Castro more than anybody.
Socialism, which is why, you know, that so much of the Hispanic population voted for Trump and the Republicans now in Miami, seen such a historic party line shift. It's remarkable. Okay, so now to this Medicaid expansion story. You were filling in for me. What was it, last summer or the spring? And you did a great job covering Medicaid expansion and why the Montana legislature should not have continued with Medicaid expansion for various reasons. And then when we would talk about this story throughout the legislative session, I think it was already clear that the cake was already baked. They had the votes. It was going to get shoved through. So I was saying, well, look, even if they're going to shove this thing through, let's get some sideboards in place. And so I was very surprised and pleased to see this was a Lee newspaper's report here. Gianforte signs law to increase age limit for Montana Medicaid expansion work requirements. This was put together by Representative Bill Mercer, a Billings Republican, House Bill 687. Which basically ups the work requirement age, which makes sense.
To what?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was at 55 years old, and it goes up to 62 years old to reflect actual working age for people.
Well, you know what the most unfortunate thing, Aaron, is that because the Democrats have successfully passed left-wing policies at the federal level in the post-World War II era, starting with, and frankly going back to FDR and then Lyndon Johnson's Great Society and everything else, you know what we're faced with, Aaron, is a retirement crisis in this country right now, where people lots of Americans are having to work past 65 just to make ends meet, and that's because we have a federal government that pushed left-wing policies that slowed down our economy, that screwed up distorted the economy and distorted the real estate markets, and you got state property tax, you got all these issues. But that's you talk about raising the work requirements on Medicaid expansion from 55 to 65. It's like
62, I think.
Or 55 to 62, whatever it is. That's nothing compared to what the Democrat policies have forced our elderly into doing.
Good point. Look at all of the senior citizens that had to come out of retirement to be able to afford the Biden tester inflation.
It's sad.
Like, that's your work requirement right there. And then to think, okay, you had to get out of retirement to pay for the Joe Biden, John Tester inflation, and somebody else can just go sit on the couch 30, 25, 45, 55, 60 years old, and they get something for free that you had to get out of retirement to pay for.
Yeah. Speaking of Medicaid expansion, and this ties into earlier what I was saying about where the Democrats are going, and because I was thinking about this and then I forgot to mention it. So I was talking about, are the Democrats going to continue with these crazy policies? Well, Governor Gavin Newsom out of California is not. And did you see that he, so Gavin Newsom has now come out against a bunch of trans issues. He's come out against some of these LGBT. He now has just recently proposed a new budget in California that says no more illegal aliens on our Medicaid. It's called Medi-Cal down there. No more illegal aliens on Medicaid in California. And I'm just sitting back thinking, and then of course you've got, you know, you've got the UK Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, a left-wing guy. He just did a huge presser in the UK the other day talking about how they're going to shut down immigration and they're going to reduce immigration. They got way too many.
A little late.
Yeah. So you want to see, so it's weird because you see the Zoe Zephyrs, the AOCs, the Bernies, you see these radical rulings, but then you see Gavin Newsom kind of going moderate. So what is going to really happen with these Democrats?
Well, earlier you mentioned Jasmine Crockett. She also was in the news this week for saying that the Democrats want the safest white boy they can find. Gavin Newsom is not the safest white boy. He's a crazy white boy who was shutting down beaches in the name of COVID-19. I mean, he's nuts, but he's trying to transition himself into the safest white boy taking these safe positions.
And Pete Buttigieg has a beard now. You see the beard? He's got the beard going.
Speaking of crazy white boys, another crazy white boy.
I saw somebody else. Because Pete Buttigieg is obviously running for president. He's got the beard.
Oh,
he's
posted. What a train wreck.
And somebody, some Democrat posted in one of his replies, does this guy not know what time it is in the Democrat Party? He's still a white guy. He might be gay, but he's a white guy.
Speaking of Newsom and speaking of California, let's talk Colorado after the next break. But first, let's sneak in a phone call here. Cynthia in Red Lodge, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, guys. Nice to hear you. And,
great to hear you.
I wanted to talk. Yeah, thank you. I wanted to talk about legislatorloyalty.com. It's a great site that people can go to and find how their legislator rated in terms of being loyal to the platform of the Republican Party. And we have a lot of people in Billings, representatives who did really, really well, who got A's. Like Barry Usher and Nellie Nickel, and I could name a whole bunch. But in Red Lodge, or in Carbon County, our legislator, Brad Barker, got an F. And there's plenty of those on there, too. So if you want to check out and really know how well your representative represented your conservative values, that's a great site, legislatorloyalty.com.
All right. Hey, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, Barry Usher, man, he is one of my favorite state lawmakers there. Just a great guy.
Well, it's funny.
I want a T-shirt with his photo on.
Yeah. No, I agree. And then I was also going to previously mention Representative Nellie Nickel and give her a shout-out as well, because I've recently sort of learned of Representative Nellie Nickel's votes, and she did do a fantastic job in the legislature.
Yeah, and that Barker guy, I should reach out to him one of these days, because his name came up as a few times where it's like, dude, why are you voting the way you're voting?
This episode is brought to you by Total Wine and More. Find what you love at Total Wine and More. With so many great bottles all at the lowest price, it's easy to discover your favorite Cabernet or new single barrel bourbon with the help of their friendly guides. Every bottle comes with the confidence of knowing you found something amazing. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More. Visit TotalWine.com. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Must be 21.
Fox News commentary.
The Biden tell-all books are telling us all what we already knew. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author, and I'm searching for heroes. Every Monday, I'll speak with a few silent but noteworthy heroes, everyday people who illuminate stories of compassion and are true embodiments of heroism. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts, and please leave a rating and a review.
One of the many Biden tell-all books has hit the shelves, and the revelations, while not shocking, are real doozies. In the book, Original Sin, CNN's Jake Tapper and Axios reporter Alex Thompson document the great lengths Biden's staff, inner circle, and top aides went to conceal his decline. According to the book, Biden aides privately discussed the real possibility Joe would need a wheelchair if reelected in 2024. Even worse, he may have needed the wheelchair sooner, but aides knew they couldn't do it until after the election. His mobility was so compromised, aides worked to create shorter walking paths, insisted he use handrails while ascending the stairs, and that he wears sneakers. None of this is shocking. None of this is bombshell breaking news. Why is it that those of us on the right were well aware of Biden's physical and mental decline for years, and those on the left insisted they didn't catch on until June 2024? Either those folks are oblivious or they are lying. Neither is acceptable. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness, along with some developing showers today, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures from 53 in Bozeman to 63 in Billings. For tonight, a few showers around early, followed by lows in the upper 30s in Bozeman to the mid-40s in Billings. And then on Friday, we'll see breaks of sun and some clouds with a few afternoon showers still possible. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. All 4 hours of the show every day goes on our Montana Talks podcast. You can get it on the Montana Talks app, or if you use streaming services like Spotify, you can get the Montana Talks podcast there as well. If you only listen to one segment of the podcast, listen to Wednesday's 8 o'clock hour. We had Gallatin County Sheriff Dan Springer. We had Dr. Merdad Kia from the University of Montana.
Right people, right when they're needed. Visit them at 1804 Grand Avenue or call today 652-8808.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have David Noble here in the house. Just a few more minutes left. Unless you want to stick around for the 8 o'clock hour, David. I know you got a busy day job.
I wish.
Old John Jackson, he's just retired. He's got nothing better to do. No, I'm joking. Actually, it's going to be great. So, John was with us for the 8 o'clock hour Tuesday, and I thought, because we had that town hall meeting in the 9 o'clock hour. So I was like, hey, John, let's get you back in the 9 o'clock hour, too, on Thursday. And then I was looking at my calendar. I was like, you know, we got a wide open 8 o'clock hour. John, why don't you just, you know, leave the puppy at home? Come join us for the 8 o'clock hour, too. So I think he might be coming in to join
us.
Good.
Well, I'll have 2 hours of podcast to listen to when I'm riding my bike here on the West End this afternoon.
There you go.
Doesn't rain, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can ride in the rain. You know, that's okay. You know, just because you're a cyclist doesn't mean you can't be tough. Oh, man. Hey, you and I were just talking politics and churches and more. Charlie, you know, when the Pope was being selected, everybody kept talking about how, hey, there's a rise in numbers in the Catholic Church, right? And then Charlie Kirk was on with, can't remember if he was on Jesse Waters or something, but Charlie Kirk was actually talking about how there is actually, for Generation Z, for young people, there is a rise in church attendance across the board. So it's not just the Catholic churches. It's churches across the board, apparently, are seeing a rise in Generation Z. Not necessarily the, you know, the baby boomers and the older generations, but Generation Z. And I played
that. That is fantastic.
Isn't that interesting? What's your initial knee-jerk reaction to that before I give mine?
So my initial knee-jerk reaction is, number one, that's fantastic, great news. Number two, it makes perfect sense because Gen Z is sort of last. Like, it's like, you know, you used to be, if you wanted to be a rebel, you know, you used to be left-wing. Now, if you want to be a rebel, you got to be conservative. But I think that's fantastic news. The other thing I would say is, when it comes to, like, the Republican Party or churches, I think that that you need, and like Ronald Reagan said, paint with bold colors. Like, nobody's gonna get out of bed on Sunday to go to the church to get mainstream slop. Now, they will get out of bed on Sunday and go to church if they're going to get a very, very conservative, biblically-based teaching that is way outside of anything you get in mainstream society. I'll get up on Sunday, and same with the Republican Party. I'm not going to go and volunteer for a Republican Party that's Democrat-like.
That's delivering mainstream slop. That's such a great point. Tying those two together. The whole Generation Z, and Charlie Kirk, of course, articulated it so very well because of what he does with Turning Point USA. But yeah, earlier this week in the 6 o'clock hour, that ended up being one of my opening rants. And the reason why Generation Z turned to Trump, turned to the Republicans, and more importantly is turning to church and turning to faith is because look at everything, all the BS they had to deal with. That radical transgender agenda, they've seen it shoved in front of their faces now since they were little. The COVID BS, the COVID atheism, lockdowns.
The atheism being shoved down their throats in the public schools.
Yeah, and they've seen all the anti-male, the anti-boy, the anti-man stuff has particularly got these young men ready to stand up and be men now as well. But I think it's because of all the COVID BS and everything, just like our country had to see how bad things got under the Democrats, these young people saw how bad things were. And now they want freedom, not just freedom as Americans. They want real freedom that comes through faith.
And that is real freedom. Everybody, you know, people always think, oh, freedom means you can do whatever you want. Well, when you're addicted to your sin and you don't want to keep doing something, but you're doing it anyways because you're addicted, that's not freedom.
That's not freedom.
Slavery.
And it leads to all these bad consequences, and you don't know why bad things keep happening. Well, it's because we're not free from that which binds you. You know?
I'm just so hopeful for the future of the country because not only stories like that, but the exit poll data from 2024 elections, which showed that it was basically 65 and up that voted Democrat, voted Kamala Harris. It was the Generation Z, younger generations. It was racial minorities. It was all these other groups that put Trump into the White House.
Same thing in Canada. And it's sad to see that so many of these baby boomers voted the other direction.
But I think they still watch mainstream media. That's the issue, I think.
And there's a lot of 60s washouts, you know, that were part of the, you know, as part of that whole deal.
Or they still think the Democrat Party is the Bill Clinton Party of the 90s.
Oh, that's right. They're still biting their lips on that one. Hi, David. Good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A recession is when your neighbor loses their job. A depression is when you lose yours, or so the old joke goes. And with that in mind, we come to the proposed cuts in National Science Foundation, or NSF, that funds a lot of research, including projects carried out by centers like ours. And so this is a bad thing, yes? We researchers are well positioned to tell you how vital all the work we do is and how the cuts make no sense. But the details of NSF spending take some of the steam out of this outrage. The agency has 37 divisions, 8 directorates, spending $9 billion with a staff of 1,700. The budgets of many of its research grants are padded with fat overhead percentages that recipients spend however they wish. The other side of the story, of course, is that the research the NSF has funded has had huge impacts, giving us things like the internet and cancer drugs. It's arguably part of the innovation advantage the U.S. still enjoys over our competitors. I'm Patrick Parkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.